Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the ACM Research First Quarter 2023 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during this session, you'll need to press star one one on your telephone. To remove yourself from the queue, simply press star one one again. As a reminder, today's program is being recorded. Now I'd like to introduce your host for today's program, Gary Dvorchak, Managing Director of The Blueshirt Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's call to discuss first quarter 2023 results. We released results before the U.S. market opened today. The release is available on our website as well as from Newswire Services. There's also a supplemental slide deck posted to the investor portion of our website that we will reference during our prepared remarks. On the call with me today are our CEO, Dr. David Wang, our CFO, Mark McKechnie, and Lisa Feng, the CFO of our operating subsidiary, ACM Shanghai. Before we continue, please turn to slide two. Let me remind you that remarks made during this call may include predictions, estimates, or other information that might be considered forward-looking. These forward-looking statements represent ACM's current judgment for the future. However, they are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. Those risks are described under Risk Factors and elsewhere in ACM's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Please do not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which reflect ACM's opinions only as of the date of this call. ACM is not obliged to update you on any revisions to these forward-looking statements. Certain of the financial results that we provide on this call will be non-GAAP basis, which excludes stock-based compensation and an unrealized gain or loss in trading securities. For our GAAP results and reconciliations between GAAP and non-GAAP amounts, you should refer to our earnings release, which is posted on the IR section of our website, and look at slide 12. With that, let me now turn the call over to David Wang, who will begin with slide three. David?
Thanks, Gary. Hello, everyone, and welcome to ACM Research, the first quarter 2023 earnings conference call. Please turn to slide three. For the first quarter, revenue was $74.3 million, up 76% from same quarter last year. Shipments were $89 million, up 33% from the same quarter last year. Gross margin was 53.8%, and the non-GAAP operating margin was 14.7%. Our operation in the first quarter were impacted by the several factors, including COVID policy, the Chinese New Year holiday, supply chain challenges related to U.S. restriction, and some delayed delivery to certain customers. We expect our business to improve in the second quarter with expected acceleration in the third and the fourth quarter. Starting with the product, please turn to slide four. We had a good growth from our cleaning tools and increased contribution from our ECP furnace and other technology with a continual strong product cycle from ECP products, which were more than 1/3 of our first quarter sales. Single wafer cleaning, Tahoe, and semi-critical cleaning grew 41%, driven by single wafer cleaning tools and strong mature nodes demand in China. ACM has one of the broadest cleaning product portfolio in the industry, covering nearly 90% of all cleaning process steps. We recently introduced several important new cleaning tools, including the bevel etcher tool and a high-temperature SPM single wafer cleaning tool, which is important for our international efforts. In Q1, we received the customer qualification of our single wafer wet bevel etch tool. ECP and furnace and other technology grew 117%. Growth in this category was driven primarily by ECP product cycle, with some contribution from furnace. Our higher temperature anneal and LPCVD furnaces, including silicon nitride and poly, have expanded to multiple customer and are in qualification. Advanced packaging, excluding ECP service and spare parts, grew from our small base last year and represent about 15% of the sales. This category, including a range of packaging tools, including coater, developer, scrubber, PR stripper, and wet etcher, and service spare parts. ACM is only company that offers both a full set of web tools and advanced plating tools. We believe advanced packaging will become more important as industry looks for packaging innovation, such as 2.5D and 3D in the portal and the fan out to drive higher performance. Our product line is very well suited for the mature nodes and power devices investment we see in the near term for China. We see continual investment in 28, 45 nano and above nanometer in front-end fab capacity as China is committed to close the gap between its consumption and production of semiconductors. We also see the ramp up of EV production in China as a driving of China-based investment in both power devices and other 28 and 45 nano devices. In this mature node expansion environment, we expect a solid growth from our cleaning tools, especially our auto bench, which is well suited for those applications. Finish up on products, I feel great about both our PECVD and track platforms. Similar to our cleaning, flat plating, and furnace product line, our PECVD and track platform have a proprietary technology that we believe will making them winner with a major customer both in China and outside China. We are in active discussion with our key customers. They are accepting to our new approach and technologies, cost and wafer throughput. Although we do not expect a revenue in 2023, we plan to deliver several evaluation tools to key customers this year. ACM has built a scale business in cleaning, and we have strong product cycle from ECP, furnace, and other technologies. With the track and the PECVD, we are moving from proof of concept during the last year to accept to active evaluation with the key customers. At this point, we now believe our differential technology can go head-to-head with any of the major players. Moving on to customer, please turn to slide 5. I'm pleased with our position with a China-based customer and the progress we are making with the potential new customers in other markets. In China, we believe ACM tools are now used by nearly all the semiconductor manufacturers. Our sales and service teams are working to expand the deployment of each of our major product lines across our growing customer base. We continue to gain traction from second and third tier semiconductor manufacturers, including power, analog, CMOS image sensor, compound semiconductors, MEMS, and other devices. In the US, the evaluation of a key potential customer is progressing well, and we remain optimistic that this could lead to production orders. In Europe, we announced an order for our first evaluation tool from a top-tier customer in the first quarter. The tool is planned for delivery in the early Q4 this year, and we are beginning to build a local service team to support the effort. To support our growth initiatives, we continue to add a facility in China and other regions. Please turn to slide 6. I will start with an update on China. Construction of a Lingang production and R&D center is on track for initial production in the second half of this year. We took ownership of our new headquarters for ACM Shanghai in Zhangjiang this quarter and plan to move in later this year. This is an important addition for us that we believe will provide stability for employees, help us attract new talent, and allow us to invest in world-class R&D center to speed up the development of our tools. Next, in Korea, we have a strong basis of more than 70 R&D engineers and more than 50,000 square feet of at least R&D administrative and production facility. ACM Korea co-developed our furnace, track, and PECVD products together with our Shanghai R&D team. As I've noted in previous calls, we have increased our commitment to Korea. We believe a strong commitment to Korea will improve our relationship. We are also adding resources in the U.S. to support ongoing evaluation and additional sales activities. In the first quarter, we leased a facility in Oregon to add to our service support and demonstration capability for R&D and custom activities in the region. As noted on the call last quarter, for 2023, we expect to spend about $100 million capex. This including continued investment in our Lingang facility, remodeling for our new headquarters for ACM Shanghai, and our investment in Korea and the U.S. Following this important investment, we believe our major spending project will be complete for the next several years. I will now provide our outlook for the full year 2023. Please turn to slide 9. Reaffirm our 2023 revenue outlook to be in the range of 515 to 5 first tool on the evaluation in the field. Now, let me turn the call over to our CFO, Mark, who will reveal details for our first quarter results. Mark, please.
Thank you, David. Good day, everyone. Please turn to slide 10. Unless I note otherwise, I refer to non-GAAP financial measures, which exclude stock-based compensation, unrealized loss on trading securities. Reconciliation of these non-GAAP measures to comparable GAAP measures is included in our earnings release. Recall that our operations last year in the first quarter of 2022 were impacted by the Shanghai COVID restrictions. As David noted, our operations in the first quarter of 2023 were impacted by China's relaxed COVID policy, the Chinese New Year holiday, supply chain challenges related to the U.S. restrictions, and some delayed deliveries to certain customers. I will now provide financial highlights for the first quarter. Revenue was $74.3 million versus $42.2 million in the first quarter of last year. Total shipments were $89 million, up 33%. Revenue for single wafer cleaning tools and semi-critical cleaning was $36.6 million, up 41% from $26 million in the first quarter of last year. Revenue for ECP furnace and other technologies was $26.6 million, up 117% from $12.2 million in the first quarter of last year. Revenue for advanced packaging, excluding ECP services and spares, was $11 million, up 183% from $3.9 million. Gross margin, 54%, up from 46.9% in the prior year period. This exceeded our normal expected range of 40 to 45%. The high gross margin was primarily due to a favorable product mix, with a particularly strong mix of our higher margin products, and a lighter mix of our lower margin products for the quarter. We expect gross margin to continue to vary from period to period due to the variety of factors such as sales volume, product mix, and currency impacts. Operating expenses were $29.2 million versus $27.7 million in the year ago period. The increase was due primarily to higher sales and marketing and G&A costs, partly offset by lower R&D costs. Operating income was $10.9 million, representing 14.7% operating margin versus an operating loss of $7.9 million in the year ago period. We recorded a realized gain of $4 million from the sale of a portion of ACM Shanghai shares of SMIC for the quarter. Recall that the realized gains are included in non-GAAP earnings. Income tax expense was $2.9 million. Compared to income tax benefit of $4 million in the year ago period. As a result of the change in Section 174 of the U.S. Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended, that became effective in January 1st, 2022, Our effective tax rate has increased primarily due to the new requirement to capitalize and amortize previously deductible R&D expenses. Net income attributable to AACM Research is $9.9 million versus a net loss of $0.6 million in the year-ago period. Net income per diluted share was 15 cents compared to net loss per diluted share of a penny in Q1 of 2022. I will now review selected balance sheet items. Cash, cash equivalents, restricted cash, and time deposits were $381.7 million at the end of the first quarter versus $420.9 million at the end of the last quarter. Total inventory was $473.3 million at the end of the first quarter, up from $393.2 million at the end of last quarter. This includes finished goods inventory of $195.7 million, work in process of $74.4 million, and raw material, $203.2 million. Capital expenditures for the first quarter were about $15 million, which includes spending on our Lingang facilities, normal maintenance spending, and, as David mentioned, the purchase of land in South Korea. That concludes our prepared remarks. Let's open the call for any questions that you may have. Operator, please go ahead.
Certainly. As a reminder, if you have a question at this time, please press star 11 on your telephone. One moment for our first question. And our first question comes from the line of Quinn Bolton from Needham & Company. Your question, please.
Hey, guys. Congratulations on the nice results and continued strong outlook. I guess first, maybe David and Mark, can you just give us your sense of you know, spending in the China market, both on sort of the mature nodes, but also including, you know, power semiconductors, silicon carbide? Are you seeing continued strength in those nodes, and how sustainable do you think that spending is?
Okay. Well, actually, looking at the real electric vehicle growth market in China, you know, pretty very promising, right? And a lot of Chinese people like driving electrical car because you know, much less gas spending. So we see that market continue to grow, and also they're using much more silicon base of their power devices versus silicon carbide, right? So we see that probably 12-inch wafer fab, and also they're demanding for the IGBT or power devices is accelerating. So we see that market will be, you know, steady growth. Also see the multiple fab, multiple customer also aiming for this, you know, very high potential market. So you also see that as also our future growth, and for both cleaning tool and copper plating tool and the furnace, including PECVD and the future, even, you know, a track. So we see that they're, you know, one of the one major driving for the mature nodes. Obviously, 28 and 45 nano, also other MEMS devices, also we see the growth potential and by the, in the future few years.
Thanks for that color, David. And Mark, I, you know, I know you have been putting a lot of working capital into inventory over the past couple of years. Balance is now up to, you know, almost $500 million. I guess, you know, is there a point where you start to throttle back on inventory? I guess I was, you know, particularly surprised by the increase in finished goods. You know, your shipments weren't up, you know, that meaningfully. But wondering if you could just give us, you know, your kind of latest thoughts on, you know, as you approach $500 million of inventory on the balance sheet, you know, does that balance start to level out for a period of time?
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Quinn, on that. So, you know, for the quarter, Q1 shipments were down, right? And there were a number of reasons for that we talked about, right? The relaxation of the COVID restrictions, you know, where a lot of employees and our customers, you know, caught the illness in December and January. You had Chinese New Year, you know, the adjustments to the U.S. restrictions as well, and some delays. So, you know, that led to a lower shipment number. Our overall inventory uptick, as you know, it's raw materials, work in process, and finished goods inventory. You know, we expect our shipments to rebound pretty nicely in Q2 and beyond. So, you know, that's one driver for the inventory. And then I think you also know that the finished goods inventory, you know, most of that includes the evaluation tools that are at our customers. So we had an increase quarter on quarter from that. We also did have an increase quarter on quarter of finished goods inventory that that was not shipped to the customer. So for those reasons. So to answer your question, we do anticipate the the inventory it's at an elevated level this quarter. We'd anticipate that being kind of a high watermark and should be coming down as we move forward.
Great. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. One moment for our next question. And our next question comes from the line of Suji DeSilva from Roth Capital. Your question, please.
Hi, David. Hi, Mark. The gross margin in the quarter was above trend. I'm curious, can you remind us which of the segments are above trend that are driving that? And I know non-single wafer clean is doubling year over year. Is that a pace that can continue, and where are the gross margin implications there?
Yeah, I think, Suji, this is a gross margin. It really depends on, product combination, right? It really depends on how much a portion of the high margin product versus low margin product. So I still think our margin still will be, 40-45%. The reason for that is we're still driving our product. And for, all the, like a cleaning staff, advanced single wafer versus also the auto bench. And for the ECP, we have also front end and back end also too. So let's put it this way. I think we're still probably, we think our range is still 40-45. And maybe until later, our PCVD and the track may become mature, especially when we're spending to the international market, right? That might be changing. But for the near future, I think 40-45 is a pretty much good range for our product portfolio and now.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David. And then you reiterated the full year expectation. Did the customer delays that you saw in 1Q, are those normalizing, recovering as expected right now? Do you expect any lingering impact in the 2023 numbers around COVID or U.S. Geopolitical challenges in China?
Yeah, there's a certain delay, right? And I think that both have some delay from their advanced nodes and also some even delay for their mature nodes too. However, I think those are delay their shipment, we think it still will be probably happen, either, something happens till end of this year, maybe something will happen maybe next year. Also, I want to say that is we see also other new customer coming, right? So looking at the whole this year, we see that our shipment is still record high, it's a real promising. And however, those their revenue will come from most new customer, right? So that's the reason we still maintain our revenue as we projected. And, we'll probably by second quarter later, we have a more clear picture. And then we'll start to, possible changing based on the new readout for next 6 months or beyond.
Okay, that's very helpful, David. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Suji.
Thank you. One moment for our next question. And our next question comes from the line of Charlie Chan from Morgan Stanley. Your question, please.
Hi, David. Hi, Mark. Good evening or good morning. So my first question is still about your first quarter revenue. I'm wondering what is kind of a unexpected factor, right? Because we all know there's a Chinese New Year, there's a COVID policy, but I'm just wondering, what's kind of the unexpected event? Because I feel like, in terms of the full year targets, your quarterly run rate should be like 90 to 100 million US dollars, but it seems like, it is kind of like a minor shortfall. Can you give us a more explanation on that?
Yeah, let me say something, maybe Mark add more. Actually, Charlie, first quarter always lower, right? And obviously there's a Chinese New Year. And this year, most especially, there's a COVID relaxing, and which impact even our operation and also our supply chain too. So I look at the first quarter, we think it's still, you know, pretty good quarter while compared with a year ago, right? I mean, a year ago, even worse, I know that. But I look in the second quarter, obviously will be strong. And we see the third and fourth quarter even stronger and strong, right? So that's why we still say, hey, first quarter result, it's natural and normal. And we see more of a growth in the, you know, next, you know, three quarters.
Yeah, Charlie, the only thing what I'd add is if you looked at last year, maybe the first half of the year was about, yeah, and typically first half of the year is a 35 to 40%, and then the second half of the year, the remainder. So this year, you know, the first half, you know, would be in the 35% to 30, you know, that sort of similar range with the back half, the rest. And, you know, we talked a few quarters ago when the restrictions on the advanced nodes, you know, first hit, and we are continuing to see a pause, right, as the overall supply chain and our customers adapt to comply with the rules, and so that's impacting the first half as well.
Okay. Yeah. So that sort of pause of the shipping to in fact, that is something that you know, we didn't fully capture. Is that a fair interpretation?
No, I think we captured that. Yeah, I mean that was, you know, we had talked about that, you know, towards the end of last year, and so you know, that was anticipated. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was just okay. Saying there's some delay or their shipment, right? And for a certain customer, which that probably also, and you know, give us minor impact from also their revenue in the Q1 too. But those shipment maybe we think, you know, maybe resume right in the Q4 or Q3 timeline, but we don't know yet. This depends on the market going, right? So that's
okay.
Some I call it not a fully clear at this moment.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, sorry for you know, asking all those details, because I feel like companies are running well, but share price didn't perform. So I thought it should because of the first quarter revenue shortfall. But that's all clear now. And the second question actually relates to the first one. So if you put a little bit a middle long-term perspective, right? I mean, the opportunity for China now more depends on, you know, power semi, analog, EV and market, as you just shared. So I'm wondering, just in terms of the cleaning tool, in terms of percentage of CapEx, can you give us some comparison between the mature nodes versus the leading edge? Right. For example, if I assume cleaning is a 10% of the mature node and 5% of leading edge, is that the right way to think about the opportunity?
Yeah, I will see that still we see the 28 nano and 45, someone is still major mature nodes driving, right? And we definitely see that also people spending for their power devices, which is almost like 60, 80 nano, right, devices for those you know, power devices. So I want to say in the future, like the next year, 1 year, 2 year, we see a lot of our fab building to production their, you know, this power devices. And, you know, so we see that's two major driving, 28 and 45. And also, you know, the power devices. But looking at real tool, I should say 28 and nano is 80% is a cleaning tool, but 45 above and also including the power device, probably 80% is the auto bench, right? It's the reverse. And our product portfolio is both cover both application. So I should say, you know, obviously I see a lot of demand for auto bench as the people moving 45 and also their power devices, right? Analog devices. So we see that the market continue to grow, which is the auto bench, by the way, we're just bringing the market two, 3 years ago. So we see that as another driving force for our revenue growth.
Okay. Thanks. And my last one is about your supply chain and also Lingang facility, right? So you just mentioned that the long-term gross margin may have upside given the PECVD and track contribution. But how about Lingang? I remember in your previous earning call, you said Lingang can help you to improve the gross margin. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I think they're obviously, even in PECVD, they have a high margin product, also, kind of a low margin product, right, including track too. So we're probably balanced, our customer and also our product portfolio. And this moment, I still say maintain 40-45% is our range. And I said, unless, until we are really have a high margin and a high quality product be proving in the market, which can be, beyond 45. But this moment, I want to stay and maintain our gross margin 40-45, right? That's the near future, our gross margin.
But how about Lingang? Lingang, bigger scale.
Lingang, I think that we're definitely, we'll probably start production, in the end of this year. And also, they're going to add more of automation for our assembly, for our production. As the long run, we see Lingang will definitely add more value, right? Improve our gross margin. But initial, 1 year, 2 year, I don't know, really. It's really have the real make this fab running smoothly and around the full scale. So, as a long run, definitely improve, right? Short run, you add some more of a cost maybe. But I don't think not much, point difference, right?
I see. Okay, thanks, David and Mark. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you. One moment for our next question. And our next question comes from the line of Christian Schwab from Craig-Hallum. Your question, please.
Great. Thanks for taking my questions, and congratulations on the continued extremely strong revenue growth outlook versus WFE. I'm wondering, number one, your thoughts. There's rumors in the marketplace that CXMT is going to do a large IPO, who's historically been, a customer of yours that could bring in many billions of dollars. If that does occur, should we think of that as something very positive for you over time?
Yeah, I think so we see the continued growth, and obviously they're also one of our major customer, and we have a product cleaning, and all kinds of, I call it cleaning tool, and be evaluated also in production for CXMT, plus also copper plating, including future will bring even, furnace, even PECVD down the road. So we see the CXMT one of the major driving force for future revenue.
Okay, fantastic. And then, as far as the total available market, that you guys have talked about, getting to $1 billion worth of business just in mainland China and then the rest of the world with upside. I mean, we've got our first evaluation tool in Europe that you've talked about, and a local service team that's going in. You've just announced that you have a local service team, in Oregon, obviously next to Intel, very large U.S. manufacturer. at what point, what would you have to see, to start including the rest of the world, which is, 10x the size of China, for, long-term, revenue objective?
Yeah, I think there, this moment, I still say we're still major sales also from China, right? It's clear right now. However, we do see our differential product, obviously cleaning, even plus our plating, In the future, we believe our furnace and also PECVD will get into the outside China by actually working with the customer in Korea actively for the multi-product, and for the rest of the world, including Taiwan, US, and also the Europe. And this moment primarily is cleaning, and we see also some people interest, customer interest our cover plating too. As the time moving on, and as I said, our penetrate more in the global market, and we'll see more of an opportunity for people buying not only our Maxonic cleaning, but buy also rest of the cleaning tool, and plus the copper plating tool, right? So I know the market grow outside mainland China still in a process in a way, but we think eventually we with our differential product, we should break through other major customer in the outside China. At the long run, I still ACM targeting a half revenue come from mainland China, half revenue come from outside mainland China. That's our strategic goal, to grow ACM to be the major player in this world market.
Fabulous. Thank you for that clarity. And then I think it was last conference call, there seems to be, Applied Materials is talking about, everybody's seeing strength in China, right? Applied Materials, you guys, Lam, anybody who's got a presence there is seeing tremendous strength. But I think, the consumption and production closing of the gap, I think you mentioned, I think it was last quarter, that, in the mature node / power, et cetera, that it would probably take, at least 3 years to potentially close the gap. Did I remember that correctly?
Yeah, obviously we see that mature node.
Hi, operator. I think we lost David's audio. Did everyone?
Oh, sorry. I guess I was halfway. Sorry. Maybe I can you hear me now?
Yeah. We can hear you now, David. Sorry. Maybe I'm start over, David, for Christian's question was about the gap of Chinese semiconductor production versus consumption. Yeah.
Okay. I see that there obvious demand for their mature nodes, 28 to 45. It's a there's still gap between the consumption rate versus made or fabricated in China, right? That gap will gradually reduce as the more fab build up. And more important, I see that also this electric vehicle driving more demand, new demand come out, and for the China market, right? We see that another new driving force, and for the 28, 45, and also the power devices. So that's probably two driving force. One is the new demand. Another one will reduce the gap between the production made in China versus the consumption rate.
Great. No other questions. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. One moment for our next question. And our next question comes from the line of Mark Miller from Benchmark. Your question, please.
Thank you for the question. Just was wondering if you could give us an impression or what you're estimating. You had the sale, the purchase order for the SAPS tools from Europe. You're setting up support for U.S. customer in Oregon. In terms of your sales projections for this year, what percent do you think will come from outside of China?
Well, Mark, it's very hard to give you precisely, right? And we're working, very closely with the, major customer. We also continue to increase our investment, right, in our sales marketing team and service team in outside mainland China. I think we're still in a, market exploration in the I call the stage. I think we'll have to be, get a, initial product qualified, then get a repeat order, then get a multiple order, right? Then you get a maybe other product getting in too. So I still see that take time. And so you can, I think still will be next few years, majority still come from mainland China market. But we see the market grow, including Korea, you know, US, Taiwan, and Europe. At this moment, it's very hard to give you, you know, percentage versus a year, right? It really depends on how we progressively or successfully our team make the sales and then service effort in outside mainland China.
Number of semi-firms have done very well supplying EV manufacturers in China. I'm just wondering, you mentioned that it's an opportunity for you. I'm just wondering, could you also kind of give me an impression of what percent of sales this year are kind of are related to EV sales?
Oh, I have to give you a precise number, but I can say we see a few production line is planning in the building process or in expanding process. And for this real EV market, right, which is including power devices, analog, and also their 28 nano aiming for their automobile, you know, there's a market too. So it's a clear trend, and the China fab, and they're very anxiously also they try to get in or prepare for growth for the EV market, you know, in China.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you have a question at this time, please press *11 on your telephone. One moment for our next question. Our next question comes from the line of Donnie Teng from Nomura. Your question, please.
Hi, David and Mark, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, David, congrats on the strong first quarter result. My first question is regarding to your product mix in the first quarter. So cleaning tool, the percentage of cleaning tool declined quite significant year on year. So which means the non-cleaning tool progress is pretty strong. But previously, I think your target is like the wafer cleaning still accounted for a very big portion of this year's sales, but the first quarter looks like it has been shrinking a lot. So are you changing your target this year, and should we expect more non-wafer cleaning tools sales contribution significantly improved this year? And how this will have the impact to the gross margin? Thank you.
Yeah, well, actually, the first quarter, I look in the, you know, detailed product mixing, right? And like you said, you know, our cleaning tool is lower than 70, right? 65%. But I look in the real forecast this year, we think that 65% probably is not a whole year number. I still say probably our, you know, cleaning will stay probably 70% range. And this year is still major our cleaning. The reason I say that is we see other, you know, our, auto bench, you know, growing, you know, pretty quickly, and also there's also demand for single wafer cleaning too. So I should still say probably 70% is a whole year our range. But obviously, I can say, you know, furnace and stack wall, and the, you know, I call the electroplating grow too. But that ratio, I think probably 70 is the right portion, not a 65%.
Okay. Got it. And just a follow-up, so for the ECP and furnace, et cetera, tools, are the major customers similar to the wafer cleaning tools, or they are maybe different categories?
Pretty much, I should say, obviously, copper plating is more like way in the box, right, front end and back end. And actually, copper plating, we sell so far, you know, 28 and on is major. And people still buy 45. Even some power devices also buy copper plating, too. So, plus, also you can see our, you know, advanced packaging, right? They only do the copper plating. So we still see copper plating is still continuing to grow, and for their, you know, for the coming year, and the, you know, for the coming next year, right? It's a growing market. And also, plus, we see their furnace has been expanding customer and multiple customer right now. And so we see that it can be another driving force for our, you know, non-cleaning product category.
Understood. And my second question is regarding to the customers, right? So for the leading NAND makers maker in China, Are you still seeing they are expanding the capacity, or they are now more like to do some more qualification on the, you know, domestic equipment production line, and the incremental capacity expansion may be need to wait until all the domestic equipment maybe like small production line qualification being passed and to continue the expansion? And for the Hynix, recently there is an industry report mentioned about that Hynix is considering to expand Wuxi Fab to increase some legacy nodes capacity. So are you seeing any signs of Hynix going to expand the capacity in China again?
We have not seen that sign, right? Obviously, you can see that, you know, DRAM market continue really suffer, right? Pricing, whatever. We have not heard anything about, like you said, you know, Hynix spending, you know, Wuxi Fab at this moment.
Okay. How about the NAND maker, the leading NAND maker in China?
Well, because we're obviously we have something delayed shipment, right? You know, whatever reason they couldn't do expansion. In terms of when they can restarting and expanding, we really don't know, right? It's really, I mean, we don't know what they explain this moment. And this one, obviously, they have the real few order missing puzzle, and we don't know yet, you know, when they can finish that.
Understood. So, just a follow-up. So for the strong first quarter sales and as well as shipment, who are the major drivers behind the strong sales? Thank you. That's my last question.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's, you know, it's very hard to give you the precisely, right? Normally, we give the customer percentage and I think yearly base, right, Mark? We give them halfly or yearly base, but we
just once a year at the end of the year.
Yeah, once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to give you the quarter this moment. And obviously, as I said, these are, I can see this is still existing customer and also have them last year we saw some new customer become, you know, mature and a repeat order, right? And some new customer, we're also facing a strong demand, but cannot count on the revenue in Q1, right? That's the one thing you should also see that. So that's major. There's still, you know, existing customer is a major contribution.
Understood. Okay. Thank you, David and Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you. One moment for our next question. And our next question is a follow-up question from Mark Miller from Benchmark.
Thank you for the follow-up. I'm just wondering, what was stock-based compensation? Was it around $2 million during the quarter?
Yeah, Mark, it was, it's $2.1 million for the quarter. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. This does conclude the question and answer session of today's program. I'd like to hand the program back to David Wang for any further remarks.
Okay. Thank you, operator, and thank you all for participation on today's call and for your support. Before we close, Gary is going to mention our upcoming investor relations events. Gary, please.
Hey, thanks, David. So on May 31st, we'll present at the 20th Annual Craig-Hallum Institutional Investor Conference in Minneapolis. Attendance at the conference is invitation only for clients of Craig-Hallum, so please contact them to register and request one-on-one meetings with us. So this concludes the call. You may all now disconnect.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your participation in today's conference. This does conclude the program. You may now disconnect. Good day.